Today, we're going to return to the book of Hebrews. But to finish out today and to sort of bring our thoughts to a conclusion on our beyond measure, I've sort of themed today's message just as Celebrate Sunday. And I certainly hope that you have already been anticipating just the celebration of the finish, of finishing well, of being far beyond what we thought we would be able to do. And I want this to be a day of celebration for us. Catholic priest died and he was standing there in heaven, and when he met God, he said, "You know, I've been waiting for this for so long, and I want to see a copy. Not a copy. I want to see the original Bible. The one that wasn't changed or added to or taken away from. I want to see the original." So God said, "Well, this is the place to see it." And so he went into heaven's library, and there it was, the sacred text. And so he said, "Could I spend some time in here alone reading? And I have some questions about things." And so God said, "Well, sure, of course." So as he began to read the Old Testament, hours passed, and God heard this man crying, and he was just weeping. And he walks into the room and he said, "Sir, there's no crying here in heaven." And he says, "Oh, we had it wrong. The word was celebrate, not celibate." Well, we have reason this morning to celebrate. We have met, we have exceeded the goal that we started 3 years ago. And I wish that everybody could be here that participated in that. I'm glad the Atkins could be here. They moved away from us. And then we have several other families that moved and left, but still we're connected with, and we just wish they could be here to celebrate this day with us. You know, it's almost like, I feel almost like there was one winter in the early 80s. I don't remember if it's somewhere from 81 to 84. It was a terrible winter all over the country. And I remember we were up in seminary, and it was the first time that we weren't able to drive home for Christmas. And that feeling of missing that connection, as I remember, the temperature was 26 below zero, 80 below wind chill, and over a foot of snow, and so nobody was going anywhere. But I just remember that feeling of, I really wish I could get home. I'm going to miss that celebration of Christmas. Well, same thing is kind of true here. I know those would like to be here with us that can't be. Well, as I looked at the word celebration, and as I like to look up words, their etymology and their origins, the beginnings, the way the history of the word changed, the word celebration, according to its earliest use, was a multitude meeting together, a meeting of great numbers, a meeting that was well publicized and well known. Our word celebrity is that type of word coming out of the same root. I looked in a concordance and found, I thought I would find a whole list of places where the word celebration appears in the Bible. But oddly enough, I only found three places in the entire Bible where the English word celebration is used. Isaiah 38:18, the Hebrew word hallel, which is a word that means to praise, is translated celebration. Leviticus 23:41, there the word celebration is talking about a feast of coming together and sharing together. And then Leviticus 23:32, and I thought this was interesting. The word celebration is used for the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is the word Sabbath. As I begin to think about the development of this word celebration, it's all of these things. We're coming together to praise God for what He's done. He's seen us through to this part in our journey. It is indeed a feast, and I hope that you will stay with us after the service, where Master Chef Tracy has prepared a meal for us next door, and it's just going to be great. It's going to be a time together of sharing. And then the third idea about celebration, the Sabbath, is something that, when we really think about it, the Jewish people were all about the Sabbath and celebration. Matter of fact, my good friend Bart and Ronnie will be here in a couple of weeks. And he told me this last time. He said, you know, you can sum the Jewish people up in three things. Number one, we were attacked. Number two, we fought and won. Number three, let's eat. They had celebrations for all times. And when you read about all the different feast days and feast weeks and all of the things, they loved their celebration. Well, that fits us to a T here. We've worked really hard. We have fought against obstacles of economy and people moving and all kinds of transitional things to keep us from reaching our goal. But beloved, we have reached our goal. Now let's eat in a few minutes and celebrate and let's share in this wonderful time. Now I'm not just going to speak to you about celebration without giving you some biblical texts to sort of wrap our thoughts around. I want you to go with me to John chapter 5 and verse number 24. I want to talk to you about three things that I thought this week about celebration. Three things that I want to celebrate. And I want you to join me as we think about what celebration really is. John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is a powerful verse. Jesus says, truly, truly, verily, verily, the Greek amen, amen, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, not will have, not has had, present tense, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed, perfect tense, action in the past with continuing results, has passed out of death into life. The first thing I want to lead you in celebrating today is our rest in Christ. If you have believed, if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ, according to this verse, we have passed from death to life. We have passed. It is a fact. It is something that we can rest upon. Ephesians chapter 2. Go with me there. And I want to read you some verses to remind you about what has been done for us, what Christ has done for us, and why we can rest in Him. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me start reading with verse 13, and I want to read down through the end of the chapter. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Beloved, we celebrate today because we are the family of God. And we're resting not in our own works, but we're resting in His works. Some of you struggle with that. You really think that you need to keep working. Maybe if you just keep working, maybe when the end comes that you'll have more positives than negatives. Couldn't be further from the truth. You'll never have enough positives to get into heaven. But Christ Himself is our peace. And because of what He did and He alone did. I'm resting in Him. It's just like the pew you're sitting in right now. You're resting. You're sitting there. Hopefully you're not too rested. But that pew is holding your weight. You're not struggling. You're sitting. You're resting. In the very same way, we celebrate our rest in Christ. Now this morning, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, there is no way that you can have peace. Because the wrath of God abides upon all of those who are not trusting Christ. But if you're a Christ follower, if you're a believer, if you're resting in Him, you need to celebrate that fact. And you need to put a smile on your face. And to know that the anger and wrath of God has been poured on His Son rather than upon you. That should cause us to celebrate. Go with me to Psalm 146. It's an interesting thing about this psalm as I thought about the word praise and how the psalms are so full of praise. But in Psalm 146, there's a beautiful passage. It's such an easy passage to develop and to look at when you read it. But the final five psalms in the whole of 150 psalms, the final five, each of them end with the word hallelujah. And they join the other psalms that are called Hallel Psalms, which is a word for praise. The same word translated in Leviticus or in Isaiah as celebrate. But look with me at Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Now, in this psalm, there are four things that we can see to celebrate about. Number one, the praise in verse one. We're here today not to praise each other, but to praise God, to lift our voices in worship, in our singing. And every word and every song that we sang today lifts up and exalts the name of God. But not only should we celebrate the fact that we're here to praise God and not each other or not the church, we also see trust is involved. Look at what he says in verse 2. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Do not trust in princes or in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. He's saying you don't trust in your health. You don't trust in your finance. You don't trust in your church building. You put your trust in God. And that's a reason this morning to celebrate. And then in verse 5. We can also celebrate the fact that we have our hope in Him. Look at what it says. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Here we have praise, we have trust, we have hope, and there's one more. In verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. This is exalting God. We've got four things here. A quintet of praise. To praise Him. To trust Him. To hope in Him. To exalt Him. Are you doing that right now? Have you been doing that this morning? This is the Lord's day. All four of these things, if they are alive and working in our hearts, will cause us to celebrate. And it will lift our spirits. It'll lift our hearts. It will be what we should be celebrating about first and foremost. Not just the fact that we have a new facility to use, but that our God is able and that we find our trust in Him. So, the first celebration is our rest in Christ. The second celebration, as I thought about this sermon and how to put it together for the finale of our program. And I know some of you are visiting with us, and I'm going back to Hebrews, Lord willing, next week, and we're going to continue up the verse by verse. And this is what I live for, to be able to do this. But to bring this to a conclusion, I just wanted to put my thoughts out to you in a topical form. We celebrate our rest in Christ. Secondly, we celebrate our differences. I want you to think with me for a minute. Now, a recent survey says 1 out of 3 people are good looking. Look on your right and look on your left, and then ask yourself, is it me? Why is it we really do put a lot of emphasis on the exterior? It's because we're superficial. But God loves our differences. He celebrates our differences. He has made us all different in so many different ways. When you think about His choice of the disciples, where there couldn't be any more different people than that, and that group of men that stayed with Him. Those disciples were raised by parents just like we were. Some of them are raised by strict parents. Some were raised by absent parents. Some were raised by almost perfect parents. Some were raised with fearful and worrying parents. Some were raised by divorced parents. Some really didn't have a parental raising. And others were raised by abusive parents. Everybody in this room has a different story. We've got a different background. We've got a different opinion, largely based on how we were raised. The family history, all of that comes in. Matter of fact, we call this a presupposition. When you come to a church and you bring your presuppositions, things that you were raised with that maybe you haven't ever really thought about that much, but we bring them all into this room and we mix them all together. And what do we have? We have diversity. We have different opinions, different thoughts. Can we accept each other? Absolutely. Do we always approve of everybody? No. But do we accept them? Yes, we should. And there should be that acceptance here in this place with us. As I was thinking about the differences, of course, the most obvious difference is men and women are different. And that starts rather early. You throw a little girl a ball and it'll hit her in the nose. You throw a little boy a ball and he will try to catch it. Then it will hit him in the nose. You dress your little girl in her Easter Sunday best and she'll look just as pretty when you finally make it to church an hour later. But you dress a boy in his Easter Sunday best and he'll somehow find every mud puddle from your home to the church, even if you're driving there. Boys' rooms are usually messy. Girls' rooms are usually messy, except it's a good-smelling mess. A baby girl will pick up a stick and look in wonderment at what nature has made. A baby boy will pick up a stick and turn it into a gun. Now, there are differences. We celebrate our family differences, don't we? The boys, the girls, the multiple personalities, not individually, but just... And we learn how to work with this, don't we? And we should celebrate it. Now, we graduate up, we become men and women. We see things differently, oh yeah. Men use restrooms for purely biological reasons. Women use restrooms as social lounges. Men in a restroom would never speak a word to each other. Never in the history of the world has a man excused himself from a restaurant table by saying, "Hey Bob, I was just about to go to the restroom. Do you want to join me?" There's a difference. And that difference is translated the way we think and the way we do church and the way we lead church. Time. Time is a bit different. When a woman says she'll be ready to go in 5 more minutes, she's using the same meaning of time as when a man says the football game just has 5 minutes left. Neither of them is counting timeouts, commercials, or replays. I only have one more. I could have really spent a lot of time on this. A woman asks a man to water her plants while she's on vacation. The man waters the plants. The woman comes home 5 or 6 days later to an apartment full of dead plants. No one knows why this happens. There is a difference between men and women. And if we can celebrate our differences, if you have learned in your marriage to celebrate your differences, we in the church should chuckle at each other and the mistakes that we make. So we're here today to celebrate our rest in Christ, what He has done for us. We're here today to celebrate our differences. And thirdly and lastly, as I thought about this word celebration and how it applies to us, we need to celebrate our future. This church is bigger than any personality here or any personality that ever will be here. This church will continue after we are dead and gone, because this is Christ's church, and it will continue to the next generation and the next generation. As the prophet Habakkuk wrote, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters that cover the sea." The glory of God through the kingdom of God, through His living church, will continue on until He's ready to pull us out. And that is His promise. And beloved, I don't care what the economy does. I don't care what politically it does. I don't care financially what it does. What I care about is the fact that my future is tied up in the kingdom of God. And I can celebrate that no matter what. As I've thought about some of you young families here, I've seen your faces this week, and as I've thought about you and your children, my desire is that your children will grow up here and learn here, and that when they get married and have children, if they stay in this area, that they will also bring their children here, and their children will learn and grow and go through Awana or Sunday school or all of the processes of learning and growing together. That is the future of the church. And I want to tell you, even in this morning's messenger, the report that people are falling away from the church and young folks are not coming back to the church and they're being disappointed by the church and they no longer want commitment, I don't think that's the true picture. I think the true picture is those who are learning and growing and desiring commitment and desiring strong families and strong churches, I don't think you can keep them from worshiping somewhere. Not just this place, but another place. We have so many wonderful places in our area to worship. I want to ask you this in closing. In 50 years, now you just take your age, add 50 years to it. Some of you have already figured out you'll be dead. But some of the rest of you, take 50 and add it to your age. And ask yourself this question. As a result of my testimony, as a result of my practice, will my children's children still love the church? And will they be making sure that their grandbabies and great-grandbabies read Bible story books at home? You know, there's lots of ways to reach people with the gospel. Preaching is the primary way that God has displayed His Word, through the preaching of the Word. But there's all kinds of ways. Children learn visually and through Bible stories about Noah and the ark and about Daniel and the lion's den and all of those stories. Grandparents, those of you that are here, I hope you're already a step ahead. You've already purchased those books to have at your home so when that your children come, it's story time. And the story time is not about Jack and the Beanstalk or, and that's okay. But how much better to make sure that they're getting inside the thing that God has recorded for us. And that to me is the celebration of our future. That I can do everything within my power as a grandparent and still as a parent. And hopefully, maybe, Lord willing, one day, if I ever make it to be a great grandparent, that I can continually want to bring that to my children. So we're here today to celebrate the peace that passes all understanding because of my sins have been forgiven. And I am in Christ, and I have nothing to worry and nothing to fear. If you're a believer this morning, you can say the same thing. And I'm here today to celebrate our differences. There's probably never been a more opposite marriage than me and Connie, ever. But we're tied. And we celebrate the fact that we're so different. And it's really kind of funny now. We chuckle at each other now. Marriage is better now after 33 years than it's ever been. Because we're actually covering each other's flaws with love. Before we were a little bit, you know. But now it's just funny. She messes up, I just laugh at her. When I mess up, she just, well, most of the time. And we celebrate the fact that we're different. And we've got a very strong relationship because of it. I pray that for us here and for you as a believer. And then the future is bright. I don't know what God has in store for me personally. I don't know what He has in store for you. God hasn't given me the timeline of how long I will live, how long you will live. But I know that I can celebrate whatever His plan is for me. Because I know that He loves me. And you can do the same. Now in the quietness of these moments, as you hear this wonderful music played, I want you to think about what you've heard today and ask yourself, as a Christian, have I been celebrating? Or have I just been too anxious about life or about problems or about my weakness or inadequacies or about my lack or any of those things? Would you just come to the Lord this morning and celebrate who He is and forget about your worries and your trouble. Celebrate Him. And then make it your plan to celebrate the people that you love, the people that you're with, the people in this church. And then to put your heart toward the future. Lord, come. That's what we pray. Lord, come. You pray. And if this morning, if you're not a believer and you've not yet opened your heart to receive Jesus, now is a wonderful time in this quiet for you to pray. Just ask Him. Just say, Jesus, open my heart. I want You in my life and I this day surrender to You. If that's your prayer this morning, in the quietness of this moment, you pray that to God. And then you let us know that you've made a decision for Jesus so that we can lead you in the baptismal waters and get you started in your Christian life. Let's take a minute to pray. They're